Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kempersisradio.co.uk on Tuesday, November the 6th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my gorgeous co-presenter, the lovely Jules Serkin.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Hello. Well, I'm a little bit disgruntled, Mr. Andrews.
You're disgruntled?
I am.
Why?
I'm disgruntled of Tankerton because, I tell you why, I was having my breakfast the other day.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I don't have a kitchen.
Yep.
So I was perched on a stool eating my cornflakes, and I opened my copy of the Whitstable Times.
Uh-oh.
Yes. And who should I find spread-eagled, double-page spread, naked, on page 25? Look, guests. Yes. Look, listener.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Andrews.
Yeah.
Tycoon's treasure chest, charity wax, raises £600. Well done on the £600. Has it gone up? I bet it has since then.
I haven't looked just recently. It is going up all the time, unlike my chest.
There you are. You're spreading.
I don't need to see it, thank you. I know what my chest looks like.
I've bought you your very own copy. Send it to your mother.
I've been trying to keep that hidden.
And if your father's listening, Victor, can you get your son under control, please?
I tell you, that smarted.
Frolicking you were in the window.
They did it in the window of the shop in Whitstable High Street, and it was quite interesting, actually. Every woman that walked past fell about laughing. And every bloke winced.
But have you got nipple tassels on or something there?
Sorry?
You've got some sort of nipple tassel on there? Or?
No, they covered my nipples with a support breast cancer sticker.
Oh, I see.
Which was equally as bad when they took it off.
I couldn't believe it. It was a scandal. A scandal,
yeah.
In which...
Well, it was a last minute thing. It will teach me to keep my big mouth shut. They rang me and said, would you have your head shaved for charity? And I went, I've got more hair on my chest than on my head. And they went, fine, we'll shave your chest then.
So that was your fate.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, they did my back as well. And the lovely Terry Ann that did it was quite prepared to carry on. They wanted to do my legs and everything, and I had to call a halt. That was bad enough.
This is the girls at rehab in Whitstable High Street.
It was at rehab in Whitstable High Street, and the lovely Ruth, Terry Ann and Becky were pulling the wax.
I don't know. I can't let you out of my sight for a minute.
I know. Terrible. Anyway, we'd like to hear from you, though, the businesses of Kent. So do give us a tweet by tweeting me at VanillaWeb, or feel free to call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. If you're exhibiting at the South East Business to Business show, or indeed any other show, and you'd like us to know your stand number, please either tweet it or ring us and tell us, or you can, if you're too shy to do either of those things, email us. But I have to warn you, we do have hundreds of emails and we do them sequentially, so you might end up at the back of the queue and not get on. So if you want to shout out, it's best to tweet me at VanillaWeb or to call us in on 01303 874 998. And I think we'll go with one of our first emails, please, Jules.
A mastermind for ambitious business owners is being launched at Howfield Manor, Canterbury, on the 20th of November at 5:30. It's an early dinner, and attendees will share the collective knowledge and experience to help each other accomplish their 2013 business goals. There are just 5 seats left around the table, so please message Nigel Whittaker on LinkedIn, email npw@purebtb.co.uk, or go through the website, which is www.purebtb.co.uk website. We'll put that on the Business Bunker after the show on the website as well. And thanks for that, Nigel. And he says, many thanks, Paul, and have a great show. And he doesn't mention me.
Good. That's what I like to hear. A man of taste.
So thanks for that.
Anyway, I want to ask you a question, Julesy.
What would you like to ask me?
You just done your very first scoff show.
Yeah.
How was it?
You know, I feel quite flushed.
Do you?
Flushed with, I don't know. It was good. I was really pleased I had the gang in there.
Yeah.
It went by very quickly. Who are you waving to?
Simon.
Simon Reed was on with his fabulous, I had rather a lot of cider, as you may tell from my cheeks.
Yeah.
She was
quaffing pints of Rough Old Wife cider, listener, I have to tell you.
While running the show.
While running a show for the first time and going, what's this button do then?
But I did have quite a lot of men on my side too, because Kevin Cann got out of bed and came in to help me, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And you were on the other side, breathing down one side of my neck. And so it was a hoot. Yeah, I've got a lot to learn, obviously, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the music. Hope you enjoyed the music. Did you enjoy the music?
Cool, yeah. So, it went well. And it was a good show, and we're looking forward to that as it develops and unfolds. So you can listen to Scoff, the food and drink programme for Kent, on Tuesdays, 11 till 12, or you can hear it again. It's rebroadcast between 6 and 7pm on a Friday, and like a lot of our shows, they'll also be up later today when I get round to it.
When you get off this.
When I get off this and start doing some more work, it'll be up to listen again on our podcast type feature. So there's loads of ways to listen to Jules again and the fantastic Scoff show.
And the Tune app is good, isn't it? Tune In Radio?
Yeah, you can listen live. For those of you listening live, you can listen via the website. And there's now two websites you can listen to. You can listen through the show website, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or you can listen to the station website, which is channelradio.co.uk, or you can listen through either of those on the TuneIn app on your smartphone or tablet.
Yeah, I found that really good yesterday.
Yeah, it is good. And TuneIn have just released an update to the app. One of the problems earlier on is that depending on where you were listening, the transmission would suddenly stop while it buffered. They've sorted that problem now, and it doesn't buffer so much, so you're not interrupted when you're listening to it. But it's cracking, and more people actually listen to this show by their phone.
I think I tweeted yesterday, I'm saving up for a smart TV, because once you get a smart TV, you can just have everything on there. It'll be great. Yeah. And I mean, I went to someone's dinner party the other day, and he was playing. I said, this is cracking music. And he said, oh, it's some French internet radio show.
Yep.
And that's great, isn't it?
If you get a device like Apple TV or other similar sender devices, what it does is it picks up everything from your internet connection, and you can play films and stuff like that and even YouTube on your TV. So what you would normally look at on your PC, you can see on your TV. You can play internet radio through your TV, or if you've got speakers around your house, you can send it all around your house. And you can listen to me in the bath or anything.
Listening to you in the bath, wouldn't it? Well, there's a novel idea.
Would that not work?
Maybe not.
Ah, okay.
Maybe it would. For some.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we've already got some tweets coming in. We've got Indigo Strawberry.
Oh, yeah.
A retweet would be fab. Ladies and Little Missy Pamper Shop. Hold on.
Yeah, they do the children's pampering parties.
Yeah, the trouble is with people that put things in 140 characters, they know what they mean, but it's not always easy to read
out. Some sort of code.
This is what it says, word for word, and we'll sort it out from there, yeah? Ladies and Little Missy Pamper Shop, 10 now, 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m, Hurst Community, Bexley, DA5 3LH, free entry and parking.
Right, we take it that's the postcode. And
so we know where it is. It's at the Hurst Community Centre in Bexley.
Yep.
And you can park there for free and get in. Okay. And it's either at 10 till now or 11 till 3:30.
Yeah, well, let's say 11 till 3:30 as it's 1 o'clock now.
I think so, yeah. Sorry, that's a typo. It's 10th of November. That's my fault. Sorry.
Nov. Yeah.
10th of November. Right, let's do this again. Now I've worked it out. Yeah. This is Indigo Strawberry, Ladies and Little Missy Pamper Shop on the 10th of November from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Hurst Community, Bexley, DA5 3LH.
Yeah, it's a good job you're a genius, Paul.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So that's that. What else we got? Kevin Edmonds.
Hello, Kev.
He's from DMS Graphics.
Yeah.
He says, we went along to the Kent Chamber Gravesend B2B event today, and it was great to see some new and old faces. We've been promoting that over the last few weeks.
Yeah, we have.
You know, it's a North Kent B2B show today. Yep. So, obviously, Kevin from DMS
everyone.
Graphics was along at that, and sounds like it's had a good turnout. So, that's good stuff.
Maybe, Kevin, you could ring us and tell us about it.
Yeah. If you do want to call in, 01303 874998, do give us a call, or you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. I think we'll go with another email, please, Jules.
Okay, give the gift of photography this Christmas. This is an unusual one. If you're looking to give gifts with a difference this Christmas, look no further than the gift of photography. If you're looking for courses or prints or something a little more personal, they're telling you to go to a website, which is www.kentphotolibrary.org. Or there is a phone number, which is 01795 597 576. And there's also the 365 A Year in the Life books and calendars, which are available to buy. So So thanks for that. You can get a beautiful canvas, a print, or an acrylic.
Cool. Last Friday,
when you were having your chest waxed.
No, that was Friday
before.
Before?
Gosh, our time.
It has gone quickly.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. I think I must have been in a time warp.
Yeah, I think yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Last Friday, at the White Cliffs Hotel, it turned out to be the perfect venue for the 2012 E-commerce in Kent Awards. The award for Kent's best online shopping site was presented at the White Cliffs Hotel, St Margaret's Bay, near Dover, on Friday the 2nd of November. The winning online shop this year was, ta-da, Bombas.
Bombas?
Bombas.
What does Bombas do?
I'm about to tell you, Jules. I'm glad you asked. It's www.bombus.co.uk, and it's owned by Amelia Coward, and they're based in Faversham. And what it doesn't actually say what they do here, but I happen to know, and the reason I know is I was one of the judges, so I looked at it. It is a really fascinating shop. What they do is they make ornamentations and gifts out of maps.
Oh.
Okay. But what you do is you specify what map you want, and then they'll make you. So, for instance, if you lived in Whitstable, you could have a big W made out of wood, but with a map of Whitstable on it. You've got to see. You've got to go to the website
personal.
And look at it. I can't describe it adequately.
Well, you have. You've described it very adequately.
But they make loads of gifts in different shapes, heart shapes, and letter shapes, and all kinds of shapes. But they all contain a map. Yeah.
And is it printed on the W, for example?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go and look at the website, because it's much easier to see what they're doing, and they're fabulous. So the award was won by Bombas, and they got a cut glass trophy, and also Amelia, the owner, wins a luxury 2-night stay for two at the fantastic Wallets Court Country House Hotel and Spa.
Wow, well that is
so that was worthwhile,
well done,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
I just want to read out the other nominations
because it's quite a nice personalised gift, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and. I know judges always say this, but the quality of the finalists was superb. Mm. The final six nominations, as chosen by the public, were judged by a panel of independent business people, which was Graham Seymour from Shopper Anonymous, Gulliver Immick from Mighty Safe, Joe Dodds, never heard of her.
Well, Gulliver was a guest on Bunker, wasn't he?
Yeah. And Graham's been a guest as well.
Yeah.
As is the next person, which was Hayden Sutherland from Ideal Interface. Yeah. Simon Teague from Leadership Expert, and some bloke called Paul Andrews.
Never heard of him.
And anyway, second place...
Is that the hairless Paul Andrews?
Was I hairless? Yes, I was hairless by then. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Second place, as determined by the judges, was awarded to www.silksoundbooks.com. And Silk Sound Books are audio books, but read by famous personalities.
Okay.
Like Stephen Fry and people like that.
Yeah, good idea.
So they're classics, but they're classic books. Like
Lewis Carroll.
Wuthering Heights or Alice in Wonderland or whatever. Brilliant.
Heathy.
Thank you. And Claire Harrison was awarded third place for her website, thecocomistress.com.
Ooh.
Right up your street.
Yeah. So that's obviously chocolate, yeah?
Yeah.
Cocoa tasting, chocolate tasting.
What a surprise.
Ooh. Did you try some?
Chocolate, yeah.
Were they bribing judges?
Come back, Jules. Jules, come back.
Were they bribing? What's her address?
In fourth place was www.ffx.co.uk, and in fifth was beachchick.co.uk.
Oh, that's Jeff.
Yeah.
Beachchick. He used to come to the Whitstable... tweet up.
Absolutely. Beachchick.co. FFX, by the way, sell tools and stuff like that. Beach Chic do gifts and seaside related things. And in sixth place was Fenton's of Kent.
Workshop. And I always think it's lemonade and ginger beer.
But it's not. It's gifts.
There is a Fenton's lemonade and ginger beer.
You keep telling me that, but no one's ever found any.
I think it might be Fenton's with a German Shepherd on it.
Every time I mention Fenton's of Kent, you go off on one about lemonade.
Yeah, I'm
and nobody knows what on earth you're talking about because you're wrong.
There's a phone ringing.
Yeah, and it's not a Fenton's.
There is. I'll bring it in.
Right.
It might be Fenton's.
Which would be different.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Same beginning.
Whatever.
Same beginning.
Whatever.
Whatever. Ginger beer.
Cool. The event and award was sponsored by the Ice Lab Limited, www.theicelab.co.uk, to celebrate their fifth anniversary and to promote their online shopping directory, which is ishopkent.co.uk.
The lovely Alan Noak.
The lovely Alan Noak and his mate Shackleton the Penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many people enjoy the ease and convenience of shopping online, but would also like to keep their money local. And the ishopkent.co.uk website offers just that. Instead of driving to a shopping centre, one click of the button online opens the door to access businesses the buyer knows are based in Kent. So although it's all online and has all the convenience of online, they're all Kent-based shopping places. So you can buy with confidence.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And all established, but helping each other and supporting each other in Kent.
So that's that. Cool.
I'll have to introduce Meerkat to Shackleton Penguin.
That can be the fight I want to watch.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We've had loads of tweets. We've got loads more emails. But you know what I think we're going to do next?
Tunage?
Yeah. Guess what I've got for
you? Not Duffy.
Duffy with Mercy there. Hopefully, we've got a caller on the phone. We've got Brankman Norton from EK Media. Brent, how are you?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
How are you doing? Hello, Brent.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can only just, Paul.
Yeah, it's gone very quiet for some reason. I'm not sure why. Could you shout a bit, mate?
Hello, hello?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Can hardly hear you, Paul.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Obviously, you can't hear me very well. I don't know what's happening, Brent. If you could tell us a bit about the award you won at the Bromley Business Awards, that would be brilliant.
Well, last, I think it was 2 weeks ago on Thursday, we went for a posh dinner at the Warren in Bromley, and we were entered into the small business category for the Bromley Business Awards, and to all our surprise, we won. So.
Absolutely brilliant. Well done. There was quite a big turnout for it, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a good night out. There was 200 people there, businesses across all sort of the whole spectrum of businesses. I mean, there were name a business really. It was a good event, we were really chuffed to win. One of our other clients, Crystal Palace Sports Injury Centre, won their category as well, which was good.
Sure, and I happen to know, because I noticed it while I was doing it, one of the companies that won an award in iShop Kent, the Silk Books people, that was one of your websites as well, I think.
Yes, it was. I didn't want to mention anything, but yes, we'd already had a shout-out for Silk Sound Books today, but yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, so EK Media all over everything at the moment.
Yeah, pretty busy.
That's pretty good stuff.
Thank you, yeah. No, so, it's been a good couple of weeks.
I'm messing about with the sliders here, Brent, because when I talk, we can't hear you, and when you talk, you can't hear me, but we'll get it sorted out in a minute. That's a really, really brilliant result for you guys, best small business, and I remember reading in a press release that you were the only new media company that were in for the award at all.
Across all categories, which was nice to see, really. that was good. It's a strange situation because we spend a lot of time pushing our clients' businesses and making sure they're getting the best out of things, and it's very seldom that we get a chance to sort of sit back and look inward. And it was a good opportunity to sort of take a look at our business and what we're up to and the services we're providing, and then to be recognised for it as well. So yeah, it was good.
No, that's excellent. Well done. Give us a shout for your website.
It's ekimedia.com, www.ecemedia.com. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/ekimedia. I'd like just a quick mention there where a couple of us in the office are obviously growing facial hair for Movember. So on the Twitter feed, you'll find there a link to our Movember page. So all donations would be gratefully accepted.
Brilliant stuff. Brent, thank you so much for that. I'm sorry about the quality of the phone line. We'll get that fixed eventually. But thank you for ringing the Business Bunker anyway. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you, as always. Many, many congratulations to EK Media and all the team there on a really well-deserved award. And enjoy the rest of your day, mate.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Jules.
Okay, you take care.
Take care. See you.
Bye. That was... Brent McNaughton there from EK Media.
And you know now, because you turned me down, Brent will think I don't like him anymore.
I know, I'm sorry about that. The problem was that when I had us up speaking, it kind of cut him off.
Yeah. So, hello, Brent. I did want to talk to you, and you'll have to phone the Scoff Show.
Yeah.
And then I can turn Paul Andrews down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what happened there, because we got the phone working again last week.
Yeah, it's worked for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it did work once. I switched me off, so that's probably me. It's probably something I'm doing
wrong. It's ringing again now.
Yeah.
Is it? The light flashing?
Well, let's see who that is.
Yeah, it'll probably be Brandt again.
Yeah. Hello, you're on the Business Funker Show.
Oh, hello there. It's Mark here.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm made in Kent.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, not so bad. I better get this the right way around. Hello, Jules, and hello, Paul.
Cool.
Hello. Hi, Mark. Yeah, you got it the right way around.
I can barely hear you. I think the last call was a bit difficult as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you just tell us what you want to tell us.
Yep, sure. Just want to let the people out there know, really, it's really coming up to the last chance to get free home insulation at the moment. It's being superseded by the Green Deal, which means taking out a soft loan and all that sort of thing. But the free insulation is early, first week in December, really, when it stops. So if anyone wants to apply for it now, then they really should apply right now.
Okay, and how do they go about that, Mark?
They go to all the W's, government-grants.co.uk.
That's brilliant. Thanks for that. Give us one more shout-out for that.
It's all the W's, government-grants.co.uk.
Brilliant. And that's Mark from Made in Kent website. If you are a producer, maker, manufacturer, or doer of anything in the County of Kent, you need to have a link on Made in Kent.
Thanks very much for that one, Paul.
That's all right, mate.
And can I have just one more quick shout-out?
Yep.
Canterbury Players are performing Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale this week, starting tomorrow night.
And where's that?
And that's at the Gulbenkian Theatre on Kent University.
So at the Gulbenkian Theatre at the University of Kent campus,
yep.
Up there on the hill. And what is it you're performing again?
It's The Winter's Tale. I'm not actually in this one, but The Winter's Tale by Shakespeare. It's one of
never heard of him.
one of his best loved plays. A lot of pathos and comedy, etc. In this one.
Fantastic. Well, break a leg with that, as they say, and good luck with everything else, Mark. And thank you so much for calling the Business Bunker Show.
Thanks very much, Paul.
All right, you take care. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. That was Mark Smith of Made in Kent talking about your last chance to apply for government grants for insulation and such like.
Did you know that Mark was a thespian?
I had heard that rumour.
Yes.
I tried to ignore it, but people kept mentioning it.
Did you know?
Do you know that Billy Dean's a thespian too?
Yes, he is.
There's lots of them over there.
He is. Mm. And did you know that Shakespeare was actually Arabic?
Arabic?
Yes.
Yeah, go on.
Sheikh Bashir.
Ah?
Sheikh Bashir. Moving swiftly on.
It's not even at the level of a bad joke, is
I know.
It? It's not even at that level.
It's one of my worst ones, I must admit.
No, trust me on this, listener. That is not. Trust me, that is not. I've heard far worse.
Who tweeteth you?
Well, we got loads of tweets. I was moaning about it earlier, but we've had a tweet from the lovely...
You're moaning about it when they start tweeting.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Sally Laker.
Oh, hello, Sally.
Sally for cakes. Sally, Christmas cakes are now available to order. See in store in Quite Contrary in Tankerton. So
that's
you can go into
shop.
The store in Quite yeah. Contrary in Tankerton, or you can go onto Sally's website, which is sally4cakes.co.uk.
Highly recommended cakes, I must say.
Yeah. So we'll come back to that. Piperus Philippios.
Piperus.
Yeah, Piperus. Yeah.
Piperus.
Listening to Vanilla Web on a Business Bunker, hoping for a shout out for you targeting after a possible new partnership with a certain company. Dunno who that would be.
Oh,
he schmoozed me on Friday night.
Did he?
Yeah, he took me out for a Greek.
Did he?
Yeah. It was very nice. I went with Pip and Amy. They took me to a lovely Greek taverna in Canterbury.
And where is that? Was that Castle Street? No, not Castle Street. Sun Street, Palace Street.
I don't know what the street's called,
the
actually.
Back of Debenhams.
Yeah, yeah. Opposite Debenhams by Costa Coffee.
I've heard it's really, really good.
It was really cracking. Yeah,
sadly,
we had a really good night.
Has never invited me.
Yeah, no, Jamie and I went with Pip and Amy. It was really cool.
Yeah, what did you have?
Oh, we had a mezza. I had everything.
Oh,
I had absolutely everything.
Fabulous.
I ate a lot.
Yeah.
Extra pita bread.
Yeah.
Keep coming. Keep
pita?
Yeah, pita bread.
P-E-T-E-R.
Yeah. No, Pete. Pita bread. Anyway, enough of that. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to speak to our first studio
Let's
guest, I think.
Let's get them on.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to introduce you to Rebecca Partridge.
Hello.
Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, you sound really good.
Thank you.
Oh, no,
it's really good.
It's
the tea. Thank you, Jules.
I'm listening to myself in these headphones and I sound awful. And then you came on and you sound really lovely.
Oh.
That's really nice. Anyway, tell us the name of your organisation first.
It's Altitude Business Planning.
Cool. And tell us a bit about you and your background and a bit about what you do.
Sure. My background is quite varied. I have worked most recently in corporate finance for 7 or 8 years. And before that, I actually worked in forensic accountancy doing fraud litigation support.
Blimey.
And prior to that, I worked in corporate restructuring and insolvency. So I'm a qualified accountant.
You know your numbers then.
I do know my numbers, absolutely.
Right.
But what I enjoyed about all of those was actually working with the people.
Okay.
That's the side of my work that I really love.
Right. So all that forensic stuff and going over accounts and numbers and stuff like that, I mean, did that actually get you in front of lots of people, or was it one of the drawbacks to the job?
That was actually the downside of that work. It was really interesting work because it's quite a unique skill set when you're working with lawyers and you're presenting a case. But yeah, you do spend quite a lot of time in a dark room at the back of someone's office where they don't really want you there.
Yeah, in a cupboard.
So yeah, it's definitely time to get out of that cupboard and back in front of people again.
Cool. So tell us about your foray into running your own business and the kind of things that you're involved in and the kind of things you're looking to get involved in.
I set up my business in May of this year, so it's all quite new. So I'm experiencing a lot of what a lot of the people I work with have been experiencing as well, as owner managers of their own business.
Right.
It's a huge step. I walked away from a pretty comfortable salary.
Sure.
Because I wanted to do this for myself and I wanted to really engage with the people I work with, and I felt the only way I could really do that was to be in their position.
Absolutely. It's one of those, sorry to interrupt you, but it's one of those things that having done it myself as well, and I know what it's like, I am always in awe of people that take that step. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult to give up something and start on a scary journey doing something for yourself.
It really is, but my goodness, it's so worth it. It's so exhilarating when you do it yourself. It's
Absolutely.
Very exciting. And that's what I see with the owner managers I work with, that engagement with what they do. Mm. You're never, ever going to see that in a corporate environment. It's always their business. It's about themselves.
And do you find, I kind of know the answer to this question, I think, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think it's important. Do you find when you deal at that level, it's much more satisfying because people will actually do something about it? You know, one of the problems with a big corporate is you can go and do consulting there and then nothing happens.
Hugely. And part of the satisfaction of what I do is handing over the work that I've done, the education that I've brought into the business about understanding the financial aspects, where perhaps some owner managers know their product, they know their market, but they don't have that financial background.
Yeah.
And letting them learn and take their business forward, rather than being, a management consultant who goes in, does a project, leaves, and then that's it. There is no advancement for the business.
It's about building that relationship.
Absolutely.
No, I totally agree. I have to confirm as well, sorry for any of you out there that are thinking of starting your business, this is going to come as a bit of a shock, but when I started my first business, I hated numbers and stuff like that, and I hated all that corporate bull about budgets and all that kind of stuff. But once you run your own business, you very quickly learn that if you don't pay attention to that, you are in deep doo-doo.
Absolutely. If you don't know exactly what's happening in your business, it's your bank account, it's your finances that are going to suffer, and they suffer very, very quickly.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, I was talking to some guys the other day, and I just went, and I caught myself doing this, and I went, oh, just show us the P&L and the management accounts and the balance sheet, give us your budgets. And they all looked at me, and I went, what? And they went, this is you. And I went, I know, but I need to see the numbers. And they went, you need to see the numbers. Yep, I do. Because you're absolutely right. Eventually, that will tell you everything you need to know about your business.
Yeah. It's the only language that a business can talk in.
It can
only communicate in numbers. So unless you can understand what it's saying, you can't take that forward.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, it takes a long time and normally something nasty happening to actually take that lesson on board and start to pay attention to it.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a real resource that all large businesses have. They have a finance function. They have a finance director.
Yeah.
Small businesses don't have that resource. Mm. And the people who are running them, it's often a one-man show. They know, as I said, they know their product, they know their market, they know their customers incredibly well, but they don't have that background.
Absolutely. But as you say, it's so important, because you can think that your business is going really, really well, and it isn't. Or you can think, not so much, but you can think sometimes your business is struggling, but actually it isn't, depending on the underlying structure of your costs and income.
Absolutely. A lot of people focus on the top line, on the sales. Mm. It's an easy thing to look at. It's an easy thing to understand. Mm. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're making money.
No, absolutely. There's some kind of saying about that as well, isn't it? I never get it right, but it's something about... I can't remember what it is now.
Profit is vanity.
Yeah, that's the one.
Cash is sanity.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
something along those lines.
Turnover is. Yeah, you got it. But it is very true if you can remember what it says.
Someone could tell us what it actually is.
Look after the pennies and the pounds.
Revenue is vanity. Turnover is sanity. Cash is king. That's the saying, and it's absolutely true. Now, so tell me, Rebecca, the kind of customers that you're dealing with, your own client base, do these tend to be fairly established businesses, or are you dealing with new startups, or is it a mixture?
It's a real range, actually.
Yeah.
Right from people who are thinking about doing a startup business, we can look at doing some planning for them, through to early stage established businesses, looking at what are my next steps, where am I going next, how am I going to get there, and what is it I actually want to achieve? Because until you've quantified that, you can't begin to plan how to get there properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really, doing that planning gives you insight into your business and allows you to make decisions for your business at the right time.
Right.
Really gives you insight into your business, it gives you control over what you're doing, and then allows you to manage that growth properly.
Right, okay.
So I also actually work with investors from the other side.
Okay.
If they're looking pre-investment, I can work with them at looking at the business, putting the numbers together where perhaps they're not in the right format for them to understand what's going on. And also when people are looking to exit their business, we can look at doing some kind of sale document.
Cool. In doing that, in working with investors, do you kind of straddle both sides of the street, as it were? Because with an investor, you've got kind of two people to look at, haven't you? You've got the person doing the investing and whoever they're investing in.
Yeah.
So is that something you can do by looking at both sides of that, or do you tend to represent one side of that transaction?
It depends why you're doing it.
Right.
You'd never put yourself in a position where you're conflicted, because it's not beneficial to anybody. What's interesting really is when you really think about it, owner managers are themselves investors.
Yeah.
They're putting their time and their cash,
yeah,
and their energy into a business.
Yeah.
So they're all part of the same pot, really.
Absolutely. Cool. Rebecca, we could talk about this for a long time, but thank you for that for the moment. Give us a shout out for your website and any Twitter handles, Facebook pages, or anything else like that you've got, so that people know how they can get hold of you. There's also a link on the homepage of the Business Bunker site at the moment, and there'll also be a link in perpetuity on the show page for this. So if anybody wants to find you, they can find you. But for the moment, give us a shout for your web address and Twitter handle and all that stuff.
Yep, and the website is altitudebusinessplanning.com. My Twitter address is at Beck Altitude BP, I think.
That's it.
It's definitely linked onto the the bunker.
Yeah. At BEC.
Yeah, at Beck Altitude BP.
But you can find her by finding me, because we follow each other.
Yeah, and if you just hashtag Business Bunker, you'll see the tweets today. And
absolutely.
And Beck is on there.
I think just one thing I'd like to add, a lot of people panic about the cost of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And actually, to do a very simple 12-month business plan, you're looking at about £250. So it's
that is really good, because the one thing that puts people off of things like this in small businesses is they go, you know, this is going to cost me a fortune and I'm not sure what I'm going to get apart from told off. But I have to say, any money spent on that, as a businessman, I'm telling you now, and as an angel investor, I'm telling you now, it is money well spent. The two things that I am most strong about when I'm investing in a company or buying a company is the quality of the accounting information that they have, and the relationship they have with their professional advisors on finance. It is crucially important.
It gives everyone confidence. It gives the business confidence, and anyone third party looking at the business, the only way they're going to get confidence is with that kind of planning and
absolutely
transparency.
And the whole area of finance is quite a complex area. So even if you're pretty good with numbers, it doesn't mean to say you understand all the things that you need to understand. Getting someone in from outside is well worth it, trust me on that. And at that kind of price, it's a no-brainer. So, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. It's Rebecca Partridge. Give us a shout for your website again.
AltitudeBusinessPlanning.com.
Cool. Rebecca Partridge of Altitude Business Planning. So thank you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thank you.
And feel free to join in. But it was lovely to talk to you.
Thanks.
Can't go anywhere. There's no room in the studio.
She can't get out. Yeah. She can't get out.
We've got three guests listening today. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's chock-a-block.
Yeah. We've been busy today, haven't we? We had phone calls. We've got loads of tweets. We've got a gazillion emails. And we've got two more guests to talk to still.
I know. You know what amazes me about the two guests that we've got here? They're both perched on one chair, the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I find, they're staying on there for an hour and a half, perched on one chair.
What are you saying about Greg?
Well, I'm saying he's ruling the roost, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got the middle one all to himself. By the end, he'll probably have both girls, one perched on each knee. Who knows? It's that kind of
show. You can't say things like that. You can't cast nasturtions like that.
It's that kind of show, Paul.
Is it?
Yes.
It might be for you.
Nasturtiums.
It's certainly not like that this side of the desk, let me tell you. Cool. I've got an email here that was a follow-up from a really brilliant guest we had a couple of weeks ago.
Who was that?
Mr. Graham Webb, MBE.
Oh, yeah, Graham was amazing.
He just sent me this. Dear friends, my sons have encouraged me to grow a moustache with them for the month of November for the important charity Movember in support of funds for the prevention and cure of testicular cancer and prostate cancer. I am into day two, this is a couple of days ago, of not shaving, where the moustache should soon appear. I'd be very grateful if you would kindly consider supporting my efforts. I am certain that that sons Brad and Rod are clearly hoping to raise more money than me. Rod is doing this through his work team efforts, and Brad and me are doing it on our own. Here is the link for supporting Two Generations of Tash. Yeah, the name of our page is http://uk.movember.com/team/553793. There is a link to that donation site on the homepage of kentbusinessradio.co.uk. So if you feel inclined to support Graham, Brad and Rod.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, Graham with trucker Che Guevara moustaches, Tom Selleck moustaches. Please go and click on that link.
Cat Weasel.
And donate some money. Nah, Cat Weasel had a goatee, didn't he?
Actually, the guy doing my kitchen, one of the guys, Doug, I've got Ian Pennick Kitchens, fabulous guy, highly recommend him, in Chesterfield. But the guy that's doing the kitchen is a guy called Doug with this cat weasel beard. And it's really great. I love it. But I want to tug it.
You want to do what to it?
I want to tug it.
Oh, right.
I've stopped myself so far. But if the kitchen doesn't, you know, get done quickly, I may tug it.
Cool. You got an email there?
I do.
Go on now.
Uckfield-based Terraco, that's T-E-R-R-A-C-O, is a leader in the formulation, design and production of environmentally friendly finishing materials, and they're delighted to be sponsoring a series of interactive conferences about the Green Deal. The seminars, which are taking place around the country, are being organised by Pilot Navigation and TSP Media. In addition to being a sponsor, Terraco will be hosting a seminar at its head office in Uckfield, East Sussex, in February of next year, and other conferences taking place in Birmingham in November, Southport in December, and Alton in Hampshire in January. The conferences will be drawing on a pool of highly regarded experts on Green Deal. The events are interactive, so being run in small groups to encourage maximum participation. And we're also sending out regular newsletters to keep interested parties up to date. So more info on that, visit www.greendealinteractive.co.uk.
Cool.
And we'll pop that on the Business Bunker website after the show.
Thank you for that. Keep going. Do us another one.
Okay. It was a very long one here.
Good.
You go off and have a lie down. So the right impression, and that's right as in when you write, W-R-I-T-E, celebrates 5 years of expanding business. We're proud to announce that the Right Impression celebrates its fifth anniversary this month. Partners are Kate Everett and Caroline Foster, and they started the business in 2007, and they've grown the company to a team of 10, working with clients throughout East Anglia and beyond. They describe it as a hive of activity. Every day is a busy one. They're being writing blogs, and they're doing press articles, and they're working with national and local papers and e-letters. Caroline says, on this past half decade, it's remarkable to think that the Right Impression has been running for 5 years now, and to also think about how much the business has grown and how successful it is. If you want to find out more, contact therightimpression.co.uk. Also here, enter the FSB, that's F for Freddie, Sugar and Bertie, Streamline UK Business Awards to show you the best UK business. The Federation of Small Business and Streamline have united to celebrate the success of British business, and they're seeking entries now from all parts of the UK. Entrants will be placed into 12 geographical areas, and there are four categories that you can enter. So wherever you're based and whatever your business is, you have a great chance to be recognised. In total, 48 finalists will be invited to the National Awards, and the awards will be presented by the inspirational Roger Black. and they'll take place at the beautiful Glaziers Hall in London on the 18th of April next year. So you've got some time here. You'll get optimum press coverage and networking opportunities. If you think you've got what it takes, you can apply online, and that's F for Freddie, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, streamlineawards.co.uk. It's free and it's simple. And the entry deadline for that is the 31st of December this year.
Brilliant. Thank you for that, Jules.
Are you back with us?
I am back with you.
What were you sorting? Come on, I'm dying to know. What were you sorting?
Well, there was some kerfuffle going on out there. It was a bit like this.
Broadcasting from Hagelands Village on Romney Marsh.
I beg you to not judge before you've heard it.
The difference between an alpaca and a llama?
About a foot.
Which one spits?
Both of them.
Just going to have a rough guess.
Can you get that alpaca out of the studio?
Back to normal now.
Yeah, man! Broadcasting from Hagelands Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channelradio.co.uk.
See, that's what I was doing.
That was a kerfuffle. Did you
it was a bit
jingle?
Of a kerfuffle out there, yeah.
Did you forget it?
Yeah.
You had to go and get it?
Yeah. But they're out now.
I quite like it. I ruled the roost while you went. I said whatever I wanted while
Did you
were out the studio.
Were you talking about me?
You'll never know.
Really? Cool. You're listening to the Business Bunker Show on kebusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on Tuesday, November the 6th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Sookin. I think what we'll do now is we'll come to our next studio guest.
Yes, let's.
Now, I'm on dodgy ground here, because I'm going to introduce her, and I haven't made any attempt to find out how to pronounce her name. I do happen to know that she is somewhat French, so I'm going to go for it in a French style, and then she's going to leap across there and punch me. Yeah.
Hang on, put your beret on.
Yeah, but it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Florence Parot.
Very well said, Paul.
Thank you, of the Sophrology Academy. That was a difficult bit. The Parot bit was
good.
Easy.
It
was
very,
a,
very good.
It was a Sophrology Academy bit that was throwing me. Welcome to the Business Bunker, Florence. It's absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Tell us.
Can we do it all in French, Paul?
Oui. Bonjour. Oui? Bonjour. Ça va?
What's the other one you know? Come on, your monkey.
Mensonge dans l'arbre.
That's a good one. Very easy to fit into conversation.
It's the only thing I learned at school. My monkey's up a tree. I mean, it's coming absolute you. Everywhere I've ever been on the continent, I managed to use
it
that somewhere.
It'd be interesting to see the results.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Sophrology. Tell us about sophrology. What's it all about?
Yes, I guess you've never heard about it, like most English people. It's very, very well known on the continent, but very little here. So I've more or less introduced it to the UK, really.
Cool.
It's somewhere between a relaxation technique and a mindfulness technique.
Okay, I know mindfulness because I do mindfulness myself.
Very well. Mm. Well, it's very similar. The difference mainly is in mindfulness, you use yoga as it is, you use meditation as it is to help with a little bit of, well, serenity into your life.
Yeah.
We bring serenity into your life as well, but with slightly different exercises. We use guided relaxation, we use breathing, we use small movements as well. And it's all put into a very modern and very practical way that is easy for people to use in their everyday life.
Right, okay. So, as you say, it's not something that's very well known in the UK, but it is something that's quite well known in France and other countries on the continent, or is it particularly a French...
No, it was actually created in Spain in 1960 by a doctor.
Right.
And it's now very widespread in Spain, in France, but in Switzerland, in Belgium, in Italy, in Portugal, most of the continent, really.
Right.
And so I thought it was high time to do it in England.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you. What's your background and what brought you here and stuff like that?
Well, I used to work in the corporate business, admin mainly, and helping, setting up businesses and running businesses and sometimes even finishing businesses. And about 20 years ago, I was burnt out.
Right.
And I was in France, and my doctor there suggested I see a sophrologist, and I thought, what's that?
Right.
I was ready to try anything, basically. And it saved me.
Right.
And then as I was going on with work and in very, very stressful situations, sophrology was helping me. I was breathing like this, I was doing this little bit of exercise, it was helping, and I think it was making a difference. And people were actually starting to come into my office, sit down and tell me all their problems. I thought, wait a minute, I must do something about that. And I really wanted to give back some of what I'd been given. So I decided to retrain and started working as a sophrologist in France, in Paris, actually, in a clinic for a few years.
Sorry to interrupt you there. How long does the training take to qualify as a sophrologist?
It takes between a year and a half and 2 years, really.
Right, okay.
I mean, foundation course is around a year and a half.
Right, okay.
More or less a weekend every month.
Right.
And I've actually started the first school of sophrology in England, so in Ashford in Kent.
Right.
Very proudly, we can say we have the one and only school of sophrology in England.
Blimey.
So I moved to England 3 years ago. That's when I started it. And I was shocked to realize at that time, 3 years ago, there were only 5 sophrologists in England. Well, in the whole of the UK, really.
Can I ask you a cheeky question? Did you move to England because you spotted a gap in the market for sophrology, or were you coming anyway?
Or have you fallen in love with an Englishman?
No, I've fallen in love with England, actually.
What do you love about England?
I love that people are very kind. They are considerate. They are, they are respectful of each other's. And coming from Paris, that was quite a difference.
Mm. And yet I always think, when I go to France, how polite they all are. And you go in, bonjour, madame, monsieur.
Not in Paris.
Paris might be different. Yeah. Can we say Paris, please?
Paris. But I wanted to come to England. Well, I had been had lived in England for a couple of years as a student and absolutely loved it. So I wanted to be back. So the main idea was I wanted to be back. And then I spotted a gap in the market and I thought, ooh, I love a challenge. Let's do this.
Right. Oh, that's brilliant. So you started the UK's first sophrology school in Ashford, in Kent, as you would. Tell us a little bit about the school. So you're basically training people in sophrology.
Exactly. I'm training people to become sophrologists.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm amazed at myself here. I haven't tripped over that word once yet.
No. That's fine. Yeah, you're amazing, Paul, I have to say.
I don't know why.
Very few people could do that.
Because who's ever heard that word? I mean, when Paul told me who the guests were, as he usually does, I just couldn't fathom what you'd be. I thought it was something musical, actually. I thought it was somebody playing a flute or something.
Okay.
That sounds very nice. It actually means the science of the consciousness in harmony.
Does it?
Comes from the Greek.
Greek, because ology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very nice,
see,
isn't
Greek,
it?
Greek. There's a connection here. You went out for a Greek meal.
How funny.
It's just not thrown together, this show, is it? We had a meze.
Yeah, you think it's all thrown together at the last minute.
Yeah.
But this has been planned and worked together. And the threads deliberately interwoven.
When you were tucking into your kleptica, there you are.
Yeah, McCofty.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're sorry, funny. Florence, to interrupt with this banal banter. I'm interested in finding out more about the sophrology school. So is it a classroom-based kind of thing that you do?
Yes. It's in Ashford, and people come in, as I said, more or less 1 weekend a month for a total of 16 weekends. And with that training, and of course they have to, do a little bit of work by themselves, but they can actually become a certified sophrologist.
Right, okay. And how long does that take? Is there a set period of time to do that?
It starts every September. And it goes, the course itself lasts 18 months.
Right, okay.
And what are we paying for this course?
£3,200.
And do they have to do practicals away from the course?
Yes, they have. It's mainly practicing on themselves, as it were, because it's really, really a practical technique. So every day they have to do their little bit of, I'm going to do one here for your sakes.
Yes.
A little bit of exercising,
okay,
breathing, and also learning how to relax, how to manage your stress with these little exercises, how to help with your sleep, that sort of thing.
Is the breath based on yoga breathing?
Well, it is based on yoga, on meditation, on tai chi, on hypnotherapy to some extent, on guided relaxation. It stems from many different techniques, actually. But it has been changed into a particular way of doing it so that it's easy for anyone.
Right, okay. Does it also involve how you manage your thinking? I mean, is it that level of being aware of your own thoughts, as it were?
Not so as much. Yeah, not as much as in maybe cognitive behavioral techniques or meditation. It's more a body-mind technique.
Okay.
So if your mind is buzzing and you just can't stop it, like many of my clients, because I see one-to-one clients as well, come to me because they can't sleep properly. Well, if they try and think differently, it's not going to help because you can't stop the mind with the mind. So we're going to use the breathing, we're going to use some movements. If, on the other end, they have a panic attack and body starts shaking, then maybe we're going to use some calming image.
Right, okay.
So that's the way we function.
Okay. Because that is interesting. You know when you're really stressed and you get that, where you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Typical.
And there's, you know, I'm a yoga teacher as well, qualified, so I know about meditation, I know about, but there is nothing I can do when I wake up at 3, absolutely white, to stop my brain. So now from what you're saying, it's got to be, rather than me trying to calm my mind, which is what I do, you're saying I should do something physical.
I can give you a couple of tips here if you want.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
When you wake up at 3, which many insomniacs do, two things you can do. First, you breathe in, contract gently all your muscles from head to toe, and then breathe out and relax your whole body. And you do that 3 times, gently. Some of my clients are very intense. They go very strongly. No, very gently. Another thing you can do is a very simple calming breath. Breathing in, breathing out, and waiting a little bit with your lungs empty, and then breathe in and breathe out and wait again. And if you count it to make it more regular, it will be more effective more quickly, and it will also keep your mind from thinking about anything else.
Cool.
That's a really good one.
That's a good tip, isn't it?
Yeah. So is it almost like counting sheep?
Nearly, you could say, really, except you're doing something else at the same time. But counting sheep can become a little bit boring.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't do that down here because that sets in a whole chain of events. We count alpacas down here.
I was about to say that. I would have thought you would be counting alpacas down here.
Where you live, Paul, you've got sheep all around you.
My house is surrounded
by
sheep.
So they probably just wander in the kitchen anyway. So they just defeat the whole thing.
Are real. Yeah. When I count sheep, it's because they're actually clustering around the house and I'm trying to get rid of them. Yeah. So tell me, at the School of Sophrology, you're obviously training people that want to be sophrologists.
Absolutely.
Do you do public courses as well for people that just want to benefit from sophrology, if you see what I mean?
Yes, well, as I was saying, I see people on a one-to-one basis if they really will want to deal with something specific, like their stress levels or their sleep or their anxiety.
So that's done on one-to-one?
That's a one-to-one.
Yeah.
I will also start a group session, so people can just, it's an open group, that will be with Canterbury Pilates from the 1st of December. And I do workshops regularly on specific subjects. I mean, you can go to my website for the information, but regularly on specific, just to get the tools, and if you don't want to become a sophrologist.
Okay. And how do you find it? I mean, because sophrology is one of the lesser known disciplines in the UK, how do you find your clients? How do you find people finding out about you? Is that still something that's quite difficult?
That's one of the main difficulties. Mainly, I do a lot of networking.
Right.
And it's also a lot of social media and internet presence, really, as well as marketing. I've had, you know, quite a few articles in the press. I'm just about to publish a book.
Oh, really?
And I'll try to give you the title.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's called Instant Serenity for Life and Work, an Introduction to Sophrology.
Instant Serenity for Life and Work, an Introduction to Sophrology. Cool.
And who is it published by?
Well, that's the question. I'm still talking to a publishing house, so I can't be definite on that one.
When it comes out, let us know, and we'll certainly mention that and put some links to it.
And read it.
And read it, obviously. Yeah, obviously. And get a signed copy of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'll have to come in again.
Obviously. So give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle and Facebook page and all that social media stuff.
The website is sophroacademy.co.uk. Twitter, same thing, Sophro Academy, and Facebook's page as well, so really easy to find.
Oh, nice and simple and all together. We'll have links to that on the Kent Business Radio website as well. For the moment, Florence, thank you so much for introducing us to sophrology. A fascinating topic. I'm just saying, sophrology a lot now.
I feel quite relaxed, do you?
Yeah. I fell asleep earlier when she was talking to me, but I nodded off and nearly snored.
I was hypnotised.
A really fascinating subject. Thank you for that. And you say you're based in Ashford. So
I'm based in Ashford.
People can come along and do your courses there. But for the moment, Florence, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Feel free to join in the rest of the show. There's not much longer to go now, and we've got another guest to talk to. But for the moment, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Paul and Jules.
Yeah, Florence Perrault there of the software.
A tout à l'heure.
Or
à bientôt.
Yeah, thank you.
Very nice.
Cool. We've got a gazillion tweets, loads of emails.
Who tweeted
and,
you?
And another guest that we really need to start talking to.
Yeah, who's got his own chair
yeah.
in the studio.
So let me just rattle off some of these tweets that come in. We have the Bexley Heath Salt Cave. Could you mention our open day on the 14th and 17th of November at the Bexley Heath Salt Cave?
You know what that's for, don't you? Anyone with asthma, eczema,
COPD,
which you was asking what it means, chronic
pulmonary disease. Yeah, that's the one.
It used to be called emphysema.
Yeah, we need John Sykes in here for that, and he's outside. He should be inside. If he was inside, he could tell us what it meant,
Dr.
but he's
John.
Outside, so he can't.
Yeah, but it's anything. But that open day, there'll be free taster sessions there.
Yeah,
I happen to know.
Cool.
Because I take my mum every week.
Yeah, good. So that's on the 14th and 17th of November at the Bexley Heath Salt Caves. So get along to that if you've got breathing difficulties. Duncan Randall, stand 007. And guess who's on stand 107? Skyfleet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Alan Note. Cause
no, Skyfleet. Skyfleet. Get it? Not Skyfall. Skyfleet. 007 at the South East Business to Business Show.
Yet?
I'm getting excited.
Have you seen the film?
No,
sorry,
I haven't yet.
You're the leading man. Sorry, I forgot.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
No, neither have I.
No. I don't like autobiographies.
I don't go out much at the moment because my
house
is such a shambles.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. Actually, what you mean is you don't go in much.
I don't go out or in much. And I dread what I've got for dinner.
At the South East Business to Business Show at the Copthorne Hotel, Effingham Park, will be Skyfleet, the car leasing company, on stand
007.
Yeah, with Duncan Randall and the guys there.
And Judy Dent.
Cool. Lenny's are listening in to the Business Bunker Show in the Terrazzo restaurant while eating our spiced parsnip and apple soup.
Ooh.
Off the new menu.
Ooh.
Blimey, that sounds good.
Yeah, that does.
I'm a bit hungry.
When is the Lenny's tweet ups? The last Thursday of the month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normally Ken Lloyd rings in about now to tell me, but it's the last Thursday of the month, 10 a.m.
Tweet in and tell us
if you want to have some spiced parsnip soup.
Yep. And then Rehab, the lovely ladies at Rehab that are in possession of my chest hair.
I think they're selling it for a
they're
Christmas.
Hoarding it without a shadow of a doubt.
Coconut mat.
They stuffed a couple of mattresses with that, I tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rehab have got a spray day.
Oh dear.
On Thursday the 8th of November, that's this Thursday. Full body spray tans, only £15.
Are you going to that?
No, surprisingly. But I'm sure lots of other people
yours
will.
Would probably cost 30 anyway.
Yeah, I've got a lot of body. That is
I saw
true.
On page 26 of the Whitstable Times.
Yeah, it was also apparently in the Canterbury Times as well.
Yeah, and the Herne Bay and the Faversham.
I'm famous.
They're amalgamating their papers now, you know, because of the print problems.
So they got a bigger page to get me all in?
No, but there used to be a Faversham Times editor, but now it's just one. It's right. Mr. John Nurden, of course.
Oh, that's
he does them all and sits up till 4 in the
that's
morning.
That's the story with local press these days, I'm afraid.
Liz Crudgington. Hello, Liz.
And Rehab also say we have special offers throughout November, so do pop in and meet the team at Rehab. And I can tell you they are a lovely bunch over there, so do go in and say hi to them.
They must be to put up with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kevin Hadlow, good afternoon guys, listening to the show, enjoying it. He's also tweeted, as it happens, about some other show that was on earlier.
Oh yeah, apparently. What's he said about Scoff?
I'll get it up. Scoff was great today.
Oh.
Congratulations to Jules and her team on a good show.
Oh, thanks Kev.
So that's lovely.
Thank you for your input. I look forward to many more of those.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done it without you.
And funnily enough, also on a bit of a food theme, Kentish Stores have tweeted us saying, great show for Kentish food produce, direct to your door, order online at kentishstores.co.uk. Over 100 items and gift boxes.
Sounds like you need some honey.
Yeah.
You need a bit of honey, you've got a frog in your throat.
Did you see what I did there?
Well, I saw you cough, yeah.
Yeah.
Was there something else I should have noticed? What else?
No matter.
Come on.
No.
Tell me.
No, I was saying,
there's no point sulking.
I was choking.
Oh, so you soldiered on.
Me.
You soldiered on.
Yeah.
Well, I was offering honey. You know what you need to do, don't you?
What's that?
Go to the salt cave. That would clear.
Probably very true.
Yeah. Clear all your mucus. Who else?
Oh, self-care.
Just read quietly to yourself.
No. Well, the trouble is, you've got to read them. Otherwise, people do this to me. They send me tweets, and I start to read them, and I think, that's rude. I can't read that. But I'm halfway through it, so I've learnt my lesson with that now. I try and read it before I read it out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Cellcare Limited, the fantastic telecoms people over in Rochester.
Yeah.
Yes. We've written a blog about it on our website, and we will be in our usual spot on Stand 51. The business Southeast show.
I haven't heard from Lisa Marie.
They've been on holiday. They've been away.
They
came back yesterday.
Dubai, I think.
Yeah. So they're back now. But she's saying they've now had to go out, so they're missing the end of the show because they're at the B2B North Kent. So hope all is going well, and say hello to the lovely Jules Serkin.
Oh, hello, the lovely Lisa.
Yeah, so there you go.
I've had to rearrange a whole lunch around Lisa because she won't come out with me on a Friday.
Cool.
And Friday is my going out day.
Cool.
But, having to rearrange the whole thing for Lisa.
Okay. Do you know what I think we'll do now? I think we'll speak to our next guest.
I think we should.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Greg Watkin of the Friars. You're the general manager of the Friars, yeah?
That's correct, Paul. Yes, thanks for inviting me, and good afternoon, Jules.
Hello.
It's absolutely lovely to have you on. Tell us a little bit about the place that you work, because it's a very interesting place, listeners.
It is a very special place, and I'm very fortunate to work there. I'm there now nearly a year and a half,
right?
As general manager of the Friars. If you don't know it, it's well worth seeing. Down in Aylesford, near Eccles, it's I'd better tell you the history, really,
yes,
of it, how it arrived. The Friars is a home to a group of Carmelite friars, that's priests and brothers, and they came here in the 13th century and arrived in England and were given this piece of land by one of the returning crusaders.
Right,
gave them this piece of land. There's about 45 acres there.
Mm.
And right on the river, on the Pilgrim's Way, on the route to Canterbury. And they set up their home and set up a chapel, and very quickly it became a place of interest all over the world, and we've had pilgrims coming for in the thousands. And that's how it was for a few hundred years, until Henry VIII said, out you go, lads.
Enough of that. Yeah.
And kick them all out.
I've got a few marriages to work on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was in private hands then. And back in 1930, I think it was. I'm not the real historian on this. One of the friars there is really good on this. Well worth going up there. He'll give you a tour of it and tell you. But from what I understand, in 1930 there was a fire there, and the big library, what's now the library, that whole roof was destroyed, and quite a lot of damage to the building. And about 1950, the Carmelites bought it back and moved back there.
Right.
And then they built a number of chapels. There's five chapels there, a big shrine, and it became one of the most popular places in the whole of South East. We get about 250,000 people visit a year.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Wow, what a history.
It's amazing. Mm. Now, I might get this wrong. Do forgive me, Greg, if I get this wrong. But I grew up around the Mason area, and I always knew it as Aylesford Priory.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, is that still a
valid name? It is Aylesford Priory, yes.
Yeah. Tell our listeners a little bit about a complex. I went there recently,
yeah,
and I actually had a meal in there. Absolutely stonkingly fabulous
so you
restaurant.
You made a pilgrimage there, did you?
I made a pilgrimage there, and I worshipped at the altar of food. sorry. And I tell you, the food was stonking, and the restaurant is in a... It's just a gorgeous ambience that the room is in. It's really hard to describe. I was going to say it's medieval. It actually isn't medieval, probably, but it has that feel about it.
Well, that building is Pilgrim's Hall. That's was originally built in the, I think, about 1250.
Oh, right, so it is medieval. Yeah.
And it was built to house pilgrims on the way to Canterbury.
Right.
And they could stay over there. It was a very tall building. It's had a few changes since. It's got three floors to it now, galleried floors.
Hmm.
But it was always used for to feed the pilgrims on their way to Canterbury. And now it's become, we've opened a restaurant there, a fine dining restaurant, as a means of supporting the Friars' work.
Yeah.
Because the Friars is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
right,
365 days a year.
Mm.
And people come for all sorts of reasons.
Absolutely.
We've pilgrimages go on every weekend from about April right through to, well, end of this month.
Right.
And you could have 1,000 people there. I look out my office one day on a Tuesday afternoon, and there's 1,500 primary school children sitting outside and all taking part in the mass, that they're all doing different parts. It was really special.
Right, absolutely.
And we've got you know, from all over the world, and maybe Jamaican, Nigerian, Polish, Italian, Spanish, who arrive different weekends for pilgrimages. And equally, we have people come on their own or people who come in small groups. But we have a lot of other facilities there. We have guest rooms there. They're very basic, but in a very, very old building. But it's for people who just want to come and maybe just get some space and some time out.
I think being basic is actually part of it.
Yes, it is.
Not
yeah.
having all the trappings and the, you know, to have somewhere that's almost quite stripped down.
It is, yeah. And I think we're not trying to become a hotel or anything like that. So we don't have Wi-Fi in the rooms. We don't even have TV in the rooms. Mm. It's not for that.
It's really odd. When you arrive onto the site, it is almost like you've entered a different dimension. It's such a calm place, isn't it?
It is a very calm place.
It's just calm and relaxing. Just by the pure nature of walking onto the site, it has that whole feel about it that instantly relaxes you. It's really hard to describe because
I think most people would share that view with you. Mm. And we get people from all faiths and none who would have that same feeling that it's a special place. And people just visit every day and just sit there for a while. And there's lots of different places to walk around there.
Mm.
I mean, you know, the problem is that it's very expensive to maintain the place and to keep it, and very expensive to provide the pastoral care. So we have a business wing to it as well. So we have conference facilities, and we have a tea room, and we have this restaurant as well. Mm. Oh, I need you to put a plug in. I'll be shot if
plug
I don't.
Away.
I have to. We've got the Christmas fair coming up 24th and 25th of November.
Cool.
That's the Saturday, Sunday. You must come along to that.
Yeah, absolutely. 24th and 25th of November.
Yeah.
Easy dates to remember because it's a Christmas fair. Just don't go on the wrong month.
Indeed.
And that's a Christmas fair in the grounds of the Friary, yeah?
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah, brilliant. Tell us a little bit about the commercial activities that you're responsible for, Greg, and what goes on there.
Well, I think my job is to manage the whole place and to make it work, but at the same time to maintain its ethos. And that's very crucial to me. It's one of the reasons why I was asked to take on this post, because I value what Aylesford Priory is.
Mm.
However, it also has to become financially stable.
Yep.
And you had an earlier guest here talking to us about looking at figures and having accounts that make sense. And yes, I'm very familiar with that. And I was getting more and more depressed as she spoke. However, I fully understand that is the reality we have. And it's not, again, it's not necessarily what the friars studied and spent their life doing, was studying figures and that's not what their life's about.
Mm.
So I'm general manager to manage the whole place, really, all the business end of it. We've got a tea room, we've got a bookshop, we've got guest rooms, conference centre, and we have the restaurant now, the fine dining restaurant we opened early in the summer.
Right. Okay.
And do you live on site, Greg?
No, I don't live on site. No.
So you go every day?
Yes, yes. Now, there is a group of friars who live on site, and it's also, I suppose, while they don't actually have a mother house, this probably is their biggest house, and it's the most important one to them, so that we'd always have, while there's a community there, we have a lot of friars visiting from other parts of the country and even other parts of the world.
Right. So tell us a little bit about some of the facilities there. You have a very advanced conference centre.
Yes.
What kind of size of it? How many people can you hold? Do you know?
Well, we've got meeting rooms that go from about 10 right up to about 120.
Cool. Okay. And you can't. I know you don't have a huge amount of rooms there. Rooms to stay in. But how many guests can you cater for at any one time if people are staying?
There's actually 65 rooms there.
Is there really?
Yeah.
That many?
Yeah.
Blimey.
There's 65. So, we've got about 110 people we could look after.
But they don't do what you do, Paul, which is cram the guests in the studio and make them all share chairs. They
yeah, eight
to
a room.
Chair.
Yeah.
Oh, we can do if they wish.
So, I mean, that's cool. And what kind of organisations use it? I mean, I take it as a whole mixture of things.
Absolutely everything. We have everything from corporate business to social services to a lot of yoga. Instructors come for weekends and do yoga weekends.
I mean, what
we
a
have
fantastic
12-step
place to do
programs.
That kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
sorry to interrupt you, Greg, but for those of you that haven't been, I mean, it strikes you as a meditative kind of place the minute you walk in there, and that's the thing that, you know, is most obvious to you. You think this is a great place to chill out.
It is. And I mean, for me, I work there, and someone said recently, it must be a very peaceful place to work. And they said, yeah, it is, if you don't work here.
Yeah.
And so, but I very often have to do, when my head gets full, I'll just put everything down and I'll go for a walk around the site and I'll meet the staff, meet people who are there, and just forget about what I'm doing and remember where I am.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit now about what you I know you've got tea rooms and things like that and visitor kind of centres, but I'm interested, because I ate there, in the fine dining restaurant. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with that and how that's developing.
Well, how that's developed to start with is we've always looked after guests and given them food, breakfast, lunches, dinners, very similar to what the Friars themselves would have. It's good home cooking, very good quality, but it's... the place is empty half the time. Once they've had their dinner, maybe at 7 o'clock, half seven and eight, people are all gone. The room is there. Very, very good kitchen. Really good quality kitchen. And a great big room that'll take about, you could comfortably, we can sit 60 in there. And we have taken up to 90. But it's, we haven't really been using it to its full potential. So I thought, well, look, here's something we should capitalize on. It doesn't take a lot of work. The room has an ambience. You don't have to design a restaurant and say, what's it going to look like? We'll make it gothic. We'll make it whatever. The room has defined itself already.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So light a big fire there and...
There's a huge fireplace at one end with a crackling log fire in there. It's a stunning place, because there's a gallery as well, isn't
there? There is, yes.
The room. Absolutely, just it is a medieval hall.
It is, yeah.
And you can sit and eat chicken legs and wild boar and all kinds of stuff. I'm sure I'm making this up.
Throw it over your shoulder.
You know what I mean? Huh?
And you'd have a deer hound, wouldn't you, lying?
Of course you do. There's loads of them all over the place.
I think you might be frequenting different restaurants to
us. Yeah, that would be it.
But I think that's Robin Hood, actually. You're
But as I said earlier, I actually ate there a few weeks ago, and it was stunning. I had a 7-course dinner, would you believe?
Oh, you had the menu taster?
I had the menu taster. I had the full works. What about that?
Well, I think you'd... the one thing we were fussy about was getting a chef who would give us the right quality
of
food.
And who is your chef?
Nigel Springer.
Local lad?
Yes, he is. He's worked in Leeds Castle and a few other places as well. I should know that on the top of my head, but I'd forget it all.
Yeah.
Really lovely chap. I met him when I was
Nigel
there as well.
Springer.
Yeah, Nigel, really lovely chap. Very, very passionate about what he's doing.
Yes.
Very, keen to make sure that his food's appreciated in the right place, which it was very much.
Hit the spot, did it, Paul?
It certainly did hit the spot. It took me ages to get me
seven
shifted out
times.
Of there. Yeah, it did. Yeah, I wasn't going to go. It was, come on, haven't you got homes to go to? Get out. And I went, no, come have just one more go at that dessert.
he does do some fantastic desserts too, yeah. Yeah, I mean, his panna cotta was just stunning.
That's my one weakness, Greg. Well, panna cotta.
I don't eat desserts at all, but when I had that, I have to say that was one of the things that clinched the interview for him.
Yeah, it is my one weakness, panna cotta, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah. One of your many weaknesses, Jules. So what are the plans for the future?
Well, one of the things we've been looking at is really redeveloping the site. Mm. I mean, it's a very old building. The whole place is very old. And really the problem is, if I was to estimate what will it cost us to fix that piece of a building, the problem is you'd say it could cost anything from £500 to £100,000. Mm. That's literally what can happen. As an example, we had to go and take off the rendering off one of the walls, the plaster around the outside. At a cost of, we expected £8,000, it was £160,000.
Good grief.
Because when they took the plaster off, all the wood behind was completely rotted to powder. Massive big job. And that is the nature of the buildings of the place.
So was that an infestation of weevil or
something? It had rotted for over many, many, many years. And that's the nature of the place. But however, that's part of the job, is to maintain the buildings, but also to maintain the place as a place of pilgrimage, for whatever you want to call pilgrimage, whether it's a faith-based pilgrimage, whether it's a personal pilgrimage, of just getting some space there. And so we've been looking at how we would redevelop the site. And so we've met with all staff, all volunteers, I would say all stakeholders, really. We brought them all together, had a consultation for ideas, for what works, what doesn't, what they'd like to see, what they wouldn't. And we've put a strategy group together that's looking on and developing that to take it further and really to see what we could do for the future. So not just more of the same, because that mightn't be what's needed in the future. It's what is needed. And certainly maintain what's special about the place.
Cool. So just sticking to the restaurant, you see, I've got a bit of a theme here.
You do, don't you?
I do like the rest of the place, but the restaurant holds a special place in my stomach. So what are your opening hours?
It's open on Tuesday till Saturday.
Tuesday till Saturday.
Yeah, and first settings probably about 6:30.
Cool.
Tuesday to Saturday, 6:30 in the evening.
Brilliant. Give us a shout for your websites.
Well, we've got the Friars website is all the W's, thefriars.org.uk.
Cool.
And the restaurant, we have a separate website, but they're linked, and that's pilgrimshallrestaurant.com.
Cool.
Menu's up there, wine list is up there, the six-course menu taster, and the new Christmas menu as well.
Brilliant.
For Christmas meal.
So we will put links to both of those websites. In fact, they're on there already. There were links to both those websites from the Kent Business Radio website. Greg, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
Thank you indeed. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. It is a fantastic place. Please visit it. It's one of those places where local people never go. Do you know? You know, it's like it's
that's so true.
You know, it's one of those things that so many local people
on
don't visit local things that are on your doorstep.
Yeah.
They'll go out for the day.
They go to the Costa Blanca,
100 miles away or something to visit somewhere, and they never visit somewhere local because it just doesn't. You know, they see the road signs to it every day, and it doesn't dawn on them to go and see what's actually there.
But apparently, you're making up for that.
I am making up for
you're
that.
You're doing your one man.
But I'm not the only person. You have, what was it again? 250,000 visitors.
Yes.
250,000 other people, as well as me, are going there. So go and check it out. It's a fantabulous place. It's just a great place just to go and walk around.
Yeah.
As simple as that on a Sunday afternoon.
That's what people do. Bring families, children. Everyone just arrives and he's home.
It's a lovely, lovely place. Greg, for the moment, thank you so much for joining
us on
the
Business Bunker.
It's been an absolute pleasure and much power to you.
Cheers, thanks.
Cool. We've got very little time left. I'm sure we've got a few emails to read.
We've got half hour longer than my show.
I know.
You know, and it still goes quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, you talk too much, Jules.
Do I?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh. Well.
I've got some tweets.
Go on then. Who tweeted you?
I've got Magic IT Services. Can you give us a shout out? IT support and consultancy provider offering businesses real world experience and alternatives to monthly contracts. And you can follow them on Twitter at Magic IT Services, believe it or not. Magic IT Services on Twitter. They haven't given me a website, but I'm sure it'll be something similar to that. And I've also had a tweet from Silk Sound Books.
Ah, the winners, or runners-up.
Yeah, runners-up. And he says, thanks to Vanilla Webb, that's me, and Jules Serkin, that's you, for our mention on the Business Bunker Show. Very happy to have got second place for the E-Commerce in Kent Awards. And very well deserved, too. Great website. Go and have a look at it. Audio books, read by the famous Bill Nye, Stephen Fry, all kinds of people. Yeah. Reading all kinds of classic books. Go and have a look. Got an email there?
Well, I've got one here that should be read out. The winners of the inaugural Uckfield Business Awards were announced at a glittering gala on Thursday, and that was at the East Sussex National Hotel. 330 people attended, and the event proved what a thriving and innovative business community exists in Uckfield. List of winners was Business of the Year, sponsored by Parker Building Supplies, Challenge Packaging. Small Business of the Year, sponsored by Lawson Commercial, was KBC PR and Marketing. Business Person of the Year, sponsored by Swindles, was Kate Burgess Craddy, KBC PR and Marketing. Retailer of the Year, sponsored by Dawson Hart, Pipe Dreams. Best Hotel Restaurant Pub, sponsored by Ricks and K, Newick Park, or is that Newick Park? I think it's Newick Park. Fastest Growing Business, sponsored by Scientifica, was ITM Soil. Innovation Awards, sponsored by NIBS Energy Controls. And Young Employer of the Year, sponsored by TR Fastenings. It goes on forever, so I'll stop there because we're running short of time.
Yeah, no,
but well
got
done
time.
To all of you.
Yeah, that's the Uckfield Business Awards.
Yeah,
great
well
stuff.
Done, all of you. Excellent.
That is actually sponsored by Adrian Corbin. If you remember, that was a guest on our show some months back from Scientifica.
Yeah.
And Scientifica won a Queen's Award to Export, I think.
That's right, yeah.
It was. They definitely won a Queen's Award. I think it was for Export.
Well done, Adrian.
So, and Adrian and Scientifica sponsored the Uckfield Business Awards. So big up to them.
Very good.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, November the 6th, with me, Paul Andrews, and Jules Serkin. We're fast approaching the end of the show, though. We've not got a lot of time left. I've got an email here, and I've been patting myself on the back for being able to say various words. This is a bit of a tongue twister as well. Avante Boss recognised as the top influencer. Cedric Frederick has been named one of Britain's most influential black people for the fourth time in 5 years. Cedric, who is the chief executive of Avante Partnership, has been recognised for his work in driving forward the day-to-day operation of the Kent-based charitable organisation, which is a leading provider of residential care homes and care-at-home services in the southeast. He will be attending a reception at 10 Downing Street for award winners. Avante Partnership employs 2,000 staff and volunteers and offers specialist dementia care within 15 of its care homes. In addition, the organisation provides high-quality domiciliary care and community support services for older people, children, young people and families each year. In total, Avante works with over 3,000 people a year. So, absolutely well done to Cedric Frederick, Chief Executive of Avante Partnership, for winning the award for the fourth time in 5 years.
Well done,
that's pretty
Cedric.
Special, isn't it? And that's a Kent-based leader.
And for having a rhyming name.
And for having a beautiful, beautiful name.
Rhyming name, how amazing.
Absolutely.
But his parents sat up thinking of names and came up with that. Yep. Incredible.
Go.
There's a business event to be held on Wednesday the 21st of November at 12 to 2 o'clock, and that's in Room 4, Newton House Conference Centre in the Kent Science Park in Sittingbourne, and they put in the United Kingdom.
In the United Kingdom?
Who'd have known?
Who'd have known that Sittingbourne was in the UK?
The Canterbury Tweet-Up with the fabulous Arga, Arga Gordon there, is on the 7th of November, so that's manana, isn't it? At the Miller's Arms?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so tomorrow, get there. It's Ken Lloyd and myself support this. It's part of the Kent Business Tweet-Up. You can go online and have a look at them, but it's tomorrow at the Miller's Arms from 10 till noon. Mm-hmm. Very friendly, free networking. Don't forget the Diwali feast on the 17th of November and the 10th of November. One is in Canterbury and one is in HMS at the Abbey. All you can eat from 1995. Bookings now taken, and that's hosted by Paul Babra and the fabulous Hilda Marie Smith.
Brilliant.
Details on the website.
I'm going to go for at least one of those.
Yeah, you'll eat all you can eat.
I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat all the Deli Bellies.
I warn them. Deli belly, and you'll get a
Paul,
deli belly.
Paul makes the most amazing deli bellies, listener.
He does.
Yeah, they're little kind of shoe pastry, puff pastry,
yeah,
shoe
I think
pastry.
It's something different, but
it's similar to that. These little, I'll call them shoe pastry for the time being. Little shoe pastry type things, full of tamarind curry stuff.
And then you pour
a sauce on it. And he bought a box of them into the show once. And Jules and I sat and ate the entire box, and there was only about 35 in there.
There's a really terrible picture of us somewhere. Have you seen it floating about with us?
Yeah, dribbling.
Gorging on
it.
Yeah. Is that still out on your
Facebook somewhere on Facebook, yeah.
Yes.
It was good, though. It was nice.
It was. I could eat another one now.
Yeah.
I've just had all that rough old wife cider, so...
Yeah, I know, you're struggling. You need a lie down this afternoon.
I need a coffee.
Mrs. Serkin, yeah.
I know. I've got one here, Kent-based Document Solutions, First Choice Business Systems. They have unveiled their new website, refining their product and service offering for its customers. Have a look at that on www.firstchoicelimited.co.uk.
Cool.
Any last minute tweets?
We have one, which is from New Potatoes. New Potatoes is a show on Channel Radio, and they go out on Thursday night, 11 till midnight. And they're a show that are showcasing new and unsigned bands, acts and music. And they broadcast their first show last Thursday, and it was a bit of a big hit.
That's a great idea, because there are so many people. And, you know, if you listen to other radio stations, they play the same old songs, playlist.
Guess who was first up on their show
last week?
No, the Webb Sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Graham Webb, who we talked about earlier, the grower of a moustache. His daughters, the Webb Sisters, are the backing band for Leonard Cohen at the moment on tour, and very, very well-known Kent singers, and they were featured on New Potatoes last Thursday.
Oh, that's worth listening into.
So it's a cracking show. Do have a listen to it if you're just home from the pub or an evening out. 11 till midnight on Thursday evenings. We're just about almost there at the end of the show. Have you got anything else that needs reading?
No. Okay. I shall.
I've got a couple, but I think we'll have to save those until
next week. I'm really. Till I have a coffee, I can't read anymore.
Yeah.
But I would like to say I'm saving up for some alpaca socks.
Are you?
Because they're next door. I would like some alpaca socks.
Yeah.
They're quite expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, could just go out and catch one.
You try getting it off the alpacas.
You just bring
they don't give out their socks easily, I tell you. First of all, you've got to get their wellies off.
Wellies?
Yeah.
Do they wear wellies?
Well, they wouldn't walk around in that field without wellies on, would they?
No.
They wouldn't walk around in just their socks, would they?
Probably not. No. But, you know, if we could you bring your shaver in next week? We could just go and grab one.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got to get out of here quick because Craig Avery's just arrived, then we're probably going to get a telling off.
You know,
for running over our time.
Yeah. Him and Robert Plant.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Plant's best mate.
They're like
just
that
arrived.
Listener.
Yeah, yeah. Photographs of them on Facebook, that made him laugh. But.
I spent the whole 2 hours watching him last week, and then you said he's doing it all wrong anyway, so I had to watch you.
Never mind. Anyway, listen, you've been listening to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Show, with me, Paul Andrews, and Jill Serkins. Our fantastic guests today have been Rebecca Partridge of Altitude Business Systems. Planning. Altitude Business Planning, Rebecca Partridge, Florence Perot of the Sophrology Academy, Greg Watkin of the Friars at Alsford and the Pilgrim's Hall Restaurant. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and Jill Serkin. Coming up after us on Channel Radio at 3 o'clock is the fantastic Kevin Cann with the Extra Milk Show, and then followed at 5 o'clock by the Craig Avery Show, and at 7 o'clock, Chris Tinney Six with World Rhythms.
Crazy.
Tune in next week. Next Tuesday will be the second show of Scoff at 11 o'clock. But you can hear this week's show again on Friday at 6 p.m.
And anytime.
And anytime.
Once you get it up
The
show.
Once I've edited it and uploaded it.
Poor Mr. Andrews.
Yeah,
the work.
They find me more and more and more work to do, listener. But for the moment, you've been listening to kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.